I know the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving, we proclaim that to be extremely grateful day. Yes. Amen. And God took us back down memory lane, right? And showed what he done for Israel and what he's doing for us. Yes. Amen. Yes. And we look back and we thank God for where we at right now. Because we said, what was that little phrase? We may not be where we want to be, but we not where we used to be. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. And then the week after Thanksgiving, we talked about the importance of Thanksgiving. Amen. So important that the world made it a holiday. Amen. The world made Thanksgiving a holiday. Amen. Some people actually get 2 days off. It's just important to be thankful. Amen. And I talked about how good it looks as parents when you're providing for your children and they're thankful. Isn't that a good look? Huh? We like when we provide for them and they're just grateful and thankful. Amen. And our God is the same way. Amen. He's blessing us daily. Huh? He's making us overcomers. Amen. Making a way for us. Always working things together for good. Amen. And he wants us to be thankful. Amen. It's nothing like just an ungrateful child. Amen. Nothing like that, saints of God. But the dialect of a believer is thank you, Jesus. That's how we talk, and that's how we live. Amen. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. That's just how we talk. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about paradise today. Amen. Carlton, I want you to entitle this message today, Trouble in Paradise. Amen. That's the name of the message. Trouble in Paradise. Amen. And then I got a question for y'all. Y'all ready? It's not no trick question. Every time I say that, y'all think I want to ask you a trick question. Amen. You're like, here we go. Jesus asked a lot of questions. Amen. Here's a question. Can you take a hint? Let's meditate on that one. Question today on the table is, can you take a hint? Amen. You know what? Back in the day, somebody would do something or say something, and they'll look at you and they'll go like, hint, hint, hint. Because they're looking at you like, I can't really tell you, but I'm hinting to you. Amen. Amen. So that's the question today. Can you take a hint? Amen. Many folks can't take a hint. Do you all know that? As a matter of fact, you can give some folks the actual answer and they still don't get it. Amen. Let's know I'm hinting it to them. You can give them the answer and they still don't get it. They just won't receive. Some people really, saints, listen to this. Some people really just have to learn the hard way. Do you hear me? They can't take a hint, huh? A warning. They just got to learn the hard way. Amen. Here, let me give you this truth right here. You all know in some cases, God can actually speak to you and give you the answer directly, and you still don't get it. Amen. Y'all believe that? God can actually give you, he can speak it to you, and you still don't get it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But God is merciful. He's merciful, saints. Before something happens, he will give you a sign. Amen. You all know that's true. He'll give you a sign. He'll let you know, hey, it's something getting ready to go on. He'll give you a sign, and he'll make a way out for you. Amen. He's merciful. He's just. He's fair. And some people really need a sign to trust God. Huh? They need a sign. You know, Lord, if that's you speaking, let the cup fall off the table. Amen. Let me walk in that door. Just, you know, it just do a strange thing. They need a sign, right? But let me say this to you, saints. That's not good. Amen. If you need a sign to trust God, you're not walking by faith. Amen. How do we walk, saints? We walk by faith. We don't need signs to trust God. Amen. Our walk is by faith. Signs are for unbelievers, saints. Huh? People who just don't believe God need a sign. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. They're from Missouri. You know that, right? I'm not trying to talk about Missouri, but some people have to see it to believe it. And they'll just tell you, hey, I'm from Missouri. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Unbelievers need a sign, but believers don't need a sign, saints, in order to believe. However, signs and wonders do follow the word. Do know that. Amen. Believers don't need signs, but when God speaks, oh, you better believe some signs and wonders are going to follow it when he speaks. Amen. His word doesn't go out and just return back and don't do anything. That's not going to happen. If he said it, you will see some signs and wonders to follow it. Amen. But we don't have to have that to believe God. Amen. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Amen. He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was telling them, y'all need signs to believe. Amen. All right, let me show it to you. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew's. Let's get straight in this word. Matthew chapter 16. Praise the Lord. So the question on the table is, what can you take a hint, right? Is that the question today? Can you take a hint? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can you take a hint? All right, here we go. Everybody in Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 1. It says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Amen. So we got the Pharisees. Those were the self-righteous Jews, right? And when we got the Sadducees, those were the ones that believe there is no resurrection. Amen. So we got the Pharisees and the Sadducees tempting God, tempting Jesus, that he show him a sign from heaven. Amen. Look at verse 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Some can discern earthly things, saints, but not the sign of the times. Amen. They can get the earthly stuff, but spiritual things, they can't get it. Amen. Look at verse 4. He says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Jesus said, you all looking for me to give you a sign, but I'm not going to give you a sign. Huh? Except the sign of the prophet Jonas. What was that? Huh? He said, that's the one I'm going to give you. And then he left them. Amen. That's all they really need, saints, is the sign of the prophet Jonas. You know, he was in the belly's well, 3 days and three nights? And that's what God is saying. The only sign I'm going to give y'all is when Jesus raised me from the dead. That's really what he was telling them. It's the only sign I'm going to give you. Huh? When I'm going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights, and God is going to raise me out of it. That's the sign I'm going to give you, the sign of a prophet Jonah. And when his disciples would come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Okay, Jesus told them to take heed, right? Be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they thought he was talking about they didn't have any bread, right? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, well, verse 7 says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets we took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets we took up? What is it with us saints that we can't take a hint after we see the sign? We can't discern. Amen. I don't get it. Jesus doesn't get it either. What did he ask him? He said, do you not understand? Don't you remember? That's really what he said. What's going on with y'all? We just fed 5,000. And before that, we fed 4,000. And you're talking about, I'm talking to you about some bread. Amen. He didn't get it, right? Look in verse 11, what he asked him. He said, how is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? See, Jesus didn't get it. He said, how is it that you don't understand this? Huh? He's asking them, how you don't get it? Amen. Look at verse 12. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, after Jesus asked them, looking at them puzzled, they understood. You know, like when a person give you a hint and they be looking at you, hint, 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 then they understood. That's what really happened, right? Thank you, Jesus. 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Jesus wanted to give them a test. See how he asked them questions? Because, you know, if they can't figure out this bread thing, he's trying to see where are you really? Amen. So he asked him the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, what did he do? When he asked him the question, he actually gave him the answer. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He got to test them, saints. He's puzzled with them. Huh? The leavened bread incident kind of puzzled them, right? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he had to just take it and get real, real with him. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, many men, saints, were just hearing about what he done, but they didn't see it. Huh? So when he was talking about who do men say that I am, they heard about him, but they didn't really see what he done. The disciples saw it. Amen. Jesus know they saw the miracles. Amen. So that's why he asked him, but whom say ye that I am? Y'all done saw what I've been doing with y'all as I'm walking with y'all. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, fleshly man have no idea who Jesus is. That's what he said. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Men in flesh do not know who Jesus is. Amen. I'm going to read that one again, verse 17. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. It's only the blessed of God, the true believer saints, that know who he is. Did you hear me? He was talking to all of them, but Simon said, Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. Amen. Look at verse 18. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Amen. So he's going to give them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's what I said when I was installed in this ministry. It's exactly what I'm going to do for you all. I'm going to give you the keys. Amen. And whatever you bound up on this earth, going to be bound up in heaven. And whatever you loose on this earth is going to be loose in heaven. Amen. Look at verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So from that time, saints, that they knew who he was, he began to show them God's whole entire plan. Amen. Once they knew who he was, he started showing them the plan, right? Look at verse 22. "Then Peter," now who was Peter? Peter was the one who said who he was. Huh? One of the disciples, right? And then he say, "You are the Son of the living." That was Peter who said that, right? "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." See, again, here's our question. What's the question on the table today? What is it in man that we can't take a hint? Huh? We see the sign. God shows us directly, and we still don't get it. Huh? He knew who God was. He said, "You are the Son of the living God." He knew who Jesus was. But when Jesus told him the plan, he didn't get it. Amen. He was like, that's not going to happen. Huh? I told you God can speak to some people directly and they still don't get it. Did I tell you that? Amen. He told them directly what the plan. It says after they knew who he was, he told them what the plan of God's whole entire plan was for him. Amen. And he didn't get it. Huh? Peter took him and rebuked him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Look at verse 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Jesus just revealed the problem, saints. Amen. That's our answer right there for today's questions. Amen. He revealed a problem. Huh? "Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Amen. See, the problem is Satan and the fact that we want to please man and not God. That's the problem. He said, "You savor." First he said, "Get behind me, Satan." So that's a problem. He called Satan out right away, right? Then he said, "For thou savorest not," he said, "You are offense unto me." Then he said, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." So he just showed us what the problem was. Amen. We want to please man, but we don't want to please God. Amen. And we listening to Satan, which is an offense to God. Who is he talking to? This is boy he talking to, right? Huh? This ain't just anybody. He talking to Peter. Amen. Oh, Lord, that's why God is a necessity in our lives daily. Because when we get off track, see, we want him to put us right back on track. Amen. Look what he told his disciples after that. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, when you go after Christ, saints, you got to deny your own self. And that's hard. Huh? It's hard to deny yourself. Amen. But he made it plain. If you're going to come after me, you can't be on your will. Huh? Can you turn that heat down? Oh, he did? Okay. All right. Praise God. When you come after Christ, you can't have your own agenda. Amen. That's why Jesus told him when he was getting ready to go through what he was getting ready to go through. He said, is it any other way for me to do this, Lord? And there wasn't no other way for him to get us back to God, but to die, but to be crucified, but his flesh be crucified. It was no other way. And this works the same with us. The only way you're going to get to God is if you crucify yourself. Amen. Flesh is not subject to God. Everybody got that? We know flesh is not subject to God, right? Y'all giving me the look. Everything is subject to God. No, it's not. Amen. The scripture says the carnal mind, which is the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. Huh? It's not subject to God. Neither can be. So Satan, he deal with Satan for you. He already did. God, Jesus dealt with Satan on the cross. Amen. The world, he already dealt with the world for you. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Isn't that what he said? But your flesh, you got to deal with that. Amen. Why? Because he gave it free will. You have free will to do whatever you want to do. Amen. And he'll allow it. He'll allow you to do whatever you want to do. Huh? But he told us, he said, look, you can choose good or evil. Choose good. Amen. Crucify your flesh. Jesus showed us on the Christ. The only thing you could do with your flesh, saints of God, is crucify it. Kill it. And Jesus did it. Amen. Huh? Flesh has to be crucified every day. Amen. When I do a murder, saints, every day. Every day I do a murder. Amen. Because I know what my flesh is capable of. It has led me around and had me do all kind of foolish things many times. So I can't allow it to lead me. I must kill it. All right. Some people in here want to know how to do that, saints of God. Y'all mad if I tell them how to do it? Huh? First thing you do is you get it up early, 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 early in the morning. Because it doesn't want to do that. Amen. Flesh don't want to get up. I'm tired. Why are you waking me up at 3? Shut up. Get up. Oh, please, I don't want to get up. Shut up before I fast you and not feed you. Huh? So that's how you deal with it. Y'all be playing. See, y'all think y'all flesh is y'all friend. Y'all don't deal with it like that, right? I'm showing you how to kill it. If anything you don't feed will die. Amen. Huh? And you get it up. As soon as you get it up, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, that's when everything is going on. Huh? You put it right in front of the Lord. Get down and begin to talk to God. And then God is going to talk back to you. Then get straight into the scriptures. Ooh, the flesh is dead. Now it's you killed me again. Huh? And then God, he's dealing with Satan who has already planned your day, because it says when we're asleep, the enemy is planning our days. Amen? Huh? They say the devil is planning while we sleep. He don't sleep. Huh? See, that's the problem. We go to sleep. The devil don't never sleep. While you sleep, he be like, yeah, I know what you like. Okay, I'm going to set this up for you today. I'm going to set that up for you. I'm going to set this up for you. I got everything. I got a lot of plans for you. But when you get up early in the morning and kill your flesh, the Lord begins to speak. I want you to do this today. I want you to do that today. Amen? All right, let me read the scripture to you again. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Look what verse 25 says. For whosoever will save his life shall what, saints? lose it. And whosoever will lose his sight for my sake, for Christ's sake, shall find it. That's how you find your life, saints. If you save your lifestyle, your way of doing things, you're going to lose all that. Hear me. Amen. But if you lose your way of your lifestyle, your way of doing things for his sake, and you trade it for what he wants you to do, you have just found your real life. Your real life is not here. Your real life is in him. Amen. Why? Because that's eternal life. That's real life. Amen. It's forever. Praise God. This stuff is temporary. Look what verse 26 says. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Saints, exchanging these little 70 years that we have is a small price to pay for forever. Do you hear me? Huh? Denying ourselves, exchanging our life for his life right now down here is a very small price to pay for what's in store for us in forever. Amen? Please know that. That's why Jesus is saying, for the Son of Man shall come in glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man, how, saints? Based on what you do. That's your reward, based on what you do. He can't break that. He put the principle out there. For whatsoever a man sows, that's what you're going to get back. That's all he's saying. When I return, I'm going to reward you based on what you do, your work. Verily I say unto you, that means surely, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You know what? That's a powerful scripture right there. Because he said it 2,000 years ago. He said, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I wouldn't stop until the Lord gave me that revelation right there. I said, wait, Lord, now, how are you saying they're going to be standing here? How in the world? What do you mean they ain't going to taste death until I just didn't get it. And I don't do them drive-bys where I just read the scripture and keep going because I don't understand. I just sit there. Lord, you're going to have to give me this one. Lord, you got to give it to me. What are you talking about? Amen. And I'm going to give it to you all. This is what the Lord said. Let me read it to you again. He said, verily, for sure, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What he's saying is some people are not going to kill their flesh. They're not going to taste of death. They're not going to deny themselves until they see him cracking that cloud. Now they're going to do it. Amen. And here's my warning to you. Hint, hint, hint. Don't let it be you. Amen. Standing there saying, here he come. Just like he said he was coming. I never denied myself. Don't let that be you. Huh? He made it. He said, surely, verily I say unto you, some going to be standing here and which shall not taste of death. They're not going to taste death. They're not going to kill their flesh. Huh? They're not going to trade their life for his life until they see him coming. You know the ones from Missouri I was talking about? They got to what? See it to believe it. They don't believe it first. See, we don't walk like that. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk, oh, Lord, just show it to me. If the cup fall off the table, Lord, we don't do that. We don't live by signs. That's for unbelievers. Amen. You all got that peace. Please don't let that be you. Amen. Now, I gave you the hint. Amen. Don't let that be you. Believe it now. Receive him now, today. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I fooled around and got excited. Because I care for y'all's soul. Amen. I could take a hint, saints. Can y'all take a hint? A sign? Huh? We got a place in California called what, saints? Paradise. Don't we? Y'all been seeing it on the news, right? It was there, huh? got a place. It's called paradise. I liken that to heaven, right? Paradise. Ain't that what they say heaven is? Paradise. However, the paradise on earth right here is burning up. Amen. Y'all seen it? Y'all can't. Look, hint, hint, hint. Y'all did see it, right? It's on the news. Every day, it's on the news. Amen. But you know what the scripture says? It says heaven is going to burn up too. Amen. And I know how to take a hint. And signs do follow the word of God. If God said it's going to be, it's going to be. Amen. But again, Lord, you don't have to show me a sign to have me believe. I believe you without seeing it. Amen. But I can take a hint. Amen. All right, let me show it to you in the word. Let me show it to you. Heaven's going to burn up. Paradise on earth is burning up. Amen. Turn in your Bible to 2 Peter. Because we was praying for them people, weren't we? We said the people in paradise, they all poor people. You know, they lost their homes. They lost everything. And what did I say I pray for? I don't know what they must be doing. Name paradise. Amen. What is that? Why would that burn up? But God said, paradise is going to burn. Heaven is going to burn up. That's what he showed me. What's the name of this? What's the name of this message I said, Carlton? Trouble in paradise. That's right. Okay. All right, here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3. Y'all there? Because there is some trouble in paradise. Look at verse 1. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Here we go again. Back down memory lane. God said he's going to stir our pure minds up by way of remembrance. Okay? That what he said? Peter is talking. Look at verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So he's saying, be mindful of those words, right? Because he know they're not coming back void. He's saying, be mindful of them. Look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. We know that's the truth, right? We don't even have to take a hint on that. We know that's the truth. It's plain to see. People are scoffing, walking, doing whatever they want to do after their own lust. Is that true? Okay, so he's telling the truth. He's bringing to our remembrance. Look at verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, of the creation. See, some people feel God, ain't no God coming back here. Everything is the same. Just like always. Is that true? Some people will tell you that this same thing happened every day. We wake up, we go to work, we come back home. It's the same thing every day. Ain't no God coming back. Why y'all waiting on God to come back here? Amen. In the last scripture, what did he say? Some of them ain't going to believe until they see him crack that sky. They ain't not going to taste the death. They ain't going to, whoo, Lord. Okay, so this is what this scripture is saying. It's saying that they don't, you know, they're scoffers, right? They just not believing it, huh? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You know what he's saying? You know why they say that? Because they're ignorant of the fact that the earth was standing out of the water and it went in the water. What in the world are they talking about? They're ignorant of, see, they say it ain't going to be no coming of the Lord because they're ignorant of this fact right here that I'm getting ready to tell you. The earth was out of the water, and then the earth is in the water and back out of the water. They don't know that. Huh? They don't know when Noah was warning folks, look, this about to be over. God is going to flood it. It's all going to be over. Huh? They're ignorant to that. And the people was, and they was ignorant then. No, it's not. We ain't getting ready to perish. We not going to perish by no water. We ain't never even seen nothing like that. Why is that fool over there building that boat? That's what they were saying, just like today. Why they living like that? Why they in the crust? Why they going to church? Oh, they so foolish. What they doing? Huh? They could be making money. They could be, it's so many things. Why are they doing that? Amen. That's what they saying. They scoffers. Huh? They ignorant of this fact that the earth once was out of the water, and then it went in the water. Lord flooded the earth, killed everything in it, and then took it right back out of the water. They ignorant of that. That's what the scripture's saying, right? So that's why they saying that. Amen. Look at verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, did what? Perished. They ignorant of that. So they think today, just like when God said, oh, I'm going to burn it up. It's going to burn up. They ignorant. They don't believe that. Oh, it ain't going to get flooded no more. See, I believe God. I don't need a sign either. Huh? I believe what he said. He said it's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Amen. I'm rolling with the word. Amen. Because I'm not ignorant of that. I know that happened. Amen. All right, look at this right here. Verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what, saints? Fire. What does reserve mean? Huh? He holding it. He reserving the earth. Let me see what that say again. Reserved for unto fire against the day of judgment and prediction of who? Whew. God has reserved the earth for fire and the day of judgment against ungodly men. Huh? You, beloved, you all listening to me? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at verse 8 then. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Okay, we got another one. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, what? That's why they scoffers. Because they're ignorant. He's telling me, he's saying, beloved, us, don't be ignorant that one day with God is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is what? He said, don't be ignorant of that. See, they're ignorant of that. That's why they think ain't nothing going to happen. They say, oh, this the earth been going on like this forever. God ain't going to burn it up. Why y'all, what do y'all believe that? That's stupid. That's foolishness. Isn't that what they believe? Because they're ignorant of the fact that one day with God is what? 1,000 years. Huh? See, we got these little 70 years or 80 years. Or some get blessed to 90, 100. We're playing with. Amen. So we think, you know, if we didn't know the Lord, we would think, ain't nothing going to happen. We've been doing this forever. Y'all been saying this thing going to be ending forever. That ain't going to happen. Huh? That's what we'll be saying. Amen. All right, we got the judge in the house, y'all. We got to act right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. One day with God is what, saints? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is. And that's why people are scoffers, thinking that ain't nothing going to happen. Amen. They think it ain't going to happen. Look how long it's been going. It's the same thing. We do the same thing every day. He is not coming. Because they're ignorant of that fact right there. Oh, it's 1,000 years with him. Yeah, it seemed like a long time to you. You only got 70, 80 years. But with God, it's just a day, 1,000 years. Amen. We're not ignorant of that. We know that. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack. Everybody say that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward to usward, not willing that any should perish, but what, saints? But all should come to repentance. God is not slowing around for no reason, saints. That's what the scripture is saying. He's slowing around his return to give us all chance to come to repentance, because he doesn't want one of us to perish. He's graceful. He's merciful. Amen. He's just. He's fair. He's saying, I'm going to give y'all a chance. Amen. I'm going to give you a chance to get it right. Amen. And many of us right now are getting it right. Amen. We see the signs, right? We see the hints. Huh, we don't live by signs. That's for unbelievers, right? Correct? But we do see them. Because signs follow the word of God. If God said, this is what I'm going to do, that's what he's going to do. Amen. So he's not slowing around, you know, because like men slow around. We know we slow around and just till we late. That's how we do it. We just slow around. It say, don't count. God is Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness. Like he just lazy. That's not what's going on. Amen. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come, how, saints? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Thank you, Jesus. Did you all get that hint? Remember, what's the question on the table today? Can you take a hint? That's the question on the table. Did y'all just get that one? Hint. Okay, I'm going to read it again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The heavens going to burn up? Is that what that scripture is saying? It says it's going to melt with a fervent heat. It's going to burn up. Amen. Just like paradise. Huh? Y'all got the hint. I think y'all getting it now. Y'all get the hint. And he's trying to show you a sign. Huh? We don't live by it. We don't need to even see that. If he said this is going to happen, that's exactly what's going to happen. But, however, we do see the sign. Amen. Paradise literally burned up. Amen. And he's saying the earth going to burn up. Heaven is going to burn up with a fervent heat. Amen. It's going to melt. Is that what he said? Lord have mercy. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything in this is going to burn up. Paradise is burning up, saints. Amen. The hint, the sign. Get it. All right, look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So it says, seeing that these things are going to be dissolved, earth, heaven, all of that, how should you be? That's really what the scripture's saying. Huh? Holy conversation and godliness. All of that. Amen. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall, what, saints? Be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with. Now, how many times he say that? Two. He said it up here, then he's saying it again. Amen. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, see, that's a promise, saints, look for what, saints? New heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. See, we as believers know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, saints, where righteousness will dwell. Amen. All this injustice, all this nonsense will not go on forever. One day with the Lord is what, saints? 1,000 years. Don't you think he's just slowing around and this is just going to continue? This is not going to continue. Amen. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him, how, saints? In peace without, and that's how we're going to act. We're going to be peaceful. Amen. Huh? And we're going to be without a spot, and we're going to be blameless. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is coming back for us. We're the bride of Christ, right? Huh? We're his wife. The church is the bride of Christ. Amen? And he's coming back for a bride, for a wife without spot. Come on. Or blemish. That's what this scripture is saying. Huh? Look at verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? It's salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. Look at verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. What did he say? Some of these things is hard to be understood to the ones that are unlearned and unstable. You know why we come here? You know why we sit under the word of God? You know why we study? We are disciples of God, because we don't want to be unlearned and we don't want to be unstable. That's why we do it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We don't want to be ignorant to any of those facts he just pointed out up front. Amen. How the earth was in the water, and out of the water, then in the water, then came back out of the water. We're not ignorant to that. Amen. We know that the earth was destroyed once by water. It perished. Amen. And so we're not sitting back saying, oh, that ain't going to happen again. This time he says it's going to burn up. No, that ain't going to happen. No, we don't think like that. We believe God. Amen. We're not ignorant to one day with God is 1,000 years. We're not ignorant to that. Amen. Okay, look at verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. See, the ones that are unlearned and unstable, they rest in the fact that it's too hard to understand. They don't want to understand it. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So they don't want to understand it. They unlearn and unstable, and they want to rest in that. They just want to sit and be comfortable with not knowing. It says, just like all these other scriptures, they don't want to know them. It says that's going to lead unto their own destruction. Foolish. Amen. Look at 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Huh? So it's warning us. This is a warning, right? A hint? Hint. Oh, let me read the hint again. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Amen. That's why we kill our flesh every day, saints. Because we don't want to fall away from our own steadfastness. That's why we do it. Amen. We do a murder every day. We got to kill our flesh. Our flesh is not our friend. Huh? Don't buddy up with it. Amen. It's going to lead you. It's capable of leading you to do anything. Huh? It's insatiable. It's never satisfied. You're never going to satisfy it. Huh? You do this thing, then it's going to say, oh, that's all right, but you got to go to a greater height than that. Take me to this place. Amen. Flesh is crazy. And you know what else it is? What did Jesus say? The flesh is weak. Amen. You're going to let something weak lead you around. Amen. That's what you do when you let your flesh lead you around. It's weak. Amen. It'll make you weak. Amen. What are we going to do with it then? Kill it. How often? Daily. We got to kill it every day. Amen. Huh? It's strong. It wants to get away from you. It wants to lead. It's not subject to God. The scripture says the carnal mind, which is the fleshly mind, is not subject to God. Neither can it be. Amen. If you're in the flesh, it's impossible to please God. Please get that in your spirit. If your flesh is leading you around, you are not pleasing God. Amen. He can't do a thing with you. Amen. He wants you to be led by your spirit, which is connected with his spirit. Now you're going someplace to make something real happen forever. Amen. Look at the last verse here. Verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and what, saints? And forever. It's telling us how to live now. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That's what we do when we come here. Amen. We're growing in his knowledge. Amen. When we're serving him, when we're sitting under him, when we trust him, we are growing in his knowledge. When we allow him to lead our spirit, connect back to his spirit, we are growing in his knowledge. Amen. And that says, to him be the glory both now and forever. That's going like that forever. We want to grow in him, saints, in truth, in real growth. Real growth is in him, saints. Like little children, we read the scripture a couple of weeks ago. Little children, they grow by the sincere milk of their mother. We grow by the sincere milk of this word. Amen. Hint, hint, hint. You all getting it? Take the hint. See the signs, saints. and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Huh? Get out of your flesh. Get out of man's way of doing things. That way of life is going to perish. Isn't that what the scripture said? Some trust in uncertain riches. Huh? Let me end with a bonus, okay? I'm going to give you all a bonus. What's the time? What's the time, saints? I got to give you all this bonus so you all can see it real clear. 11:41? Okay. Got to give you a bonus because the judge was in another service, so she got to our service, so I got to feed her. Amen. Amen. We got some food left over. Y'all know in here everybody eats. Amen. And we're going to take up some fragments when we get done. Amen. We got plenty food up here. Judge Bush, we got plenty food. We ain't run out of food. Praise God. Turn in your Bible to Luke 16. What are we talking about? Taking a hint, right? Understanding the sign, being able to discern. Amen. That what we're talking about? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Luke chapter 16. Everybody say, praise God. Amen. He's something else. He won't let us be ignorant. That's why I love him. He said, they ignorant to some things. He won't let us be ignorant. Amen. We don't want to be ignorant. Oh, Lord, I didn't know. No, I want to know. Huh? Let me know so I can make the proper decision. Amen. I'm not afraid. My flesh is dead. I want to trust you, Lord. I want to move on what you say do. Amen. Please get that in your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody in Luke chapter 16, this is the bonus bread right here. Say bonus bread. It's the bonus bread right here. We got some more food. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 19. Check this out. It said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Huh? So as I read this story, this certain rich man sounded like he was rich in material things, saints. You hear me? Like worldly riches, earthly riches. A certain rich man. Amen. And it said he was clothed in purple and fine linen. He was clean now. And he fared sumptuously every day. Amen. All right, let me show you this real quick. Keep your hand right there. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because I'm saying this rich man, as I read this story, reminded me of a material. He was rich in material things, worldly riches, earthly riches. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 17. It says, because the rich man, based on these scriptures, this is not the world standards of the rich man. This one right here. Looking at verse 17? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Look at verse 18. That they do good, and they be rich in what? Good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Amen. This is the charge he's giving the ones that are rich in this world. Look at 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on what, saints? That's what we want to do. Huh? It's telling the rich, huh, not to be high-minded. And here's the number one thing. When we have a little something, we do. Don't trust the money. Use it, but don't trust it. And whatever you do, don't fall in love with it. Amen. Our love is reserved. It's on reserve. You know what our love is for? God. Everything else we just enjoy. I enjoy money. I enjoy golf. I enjoy my wife. Huh? Well, I love her too, because it says I owe her that, and all of you all that too. Huh? It says what's the greatest commandment he told Jesus? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your strength and all your might, and your neighbors the same way. Oh, I owe you that. So I love y'all. I love God with all my heart, strength, and might. And everything else I enjoy, including money. I don't love it. Because, you know, the scripture, people will tell you this because they get it twisted because they are ignorant to these scriptures. They'll say, money is the root of all evil. Y'all know y'all hear that. Huh? But what does it really say? The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money. It's when you love it. Amen. We love God and we love each other. Everything else, we enjoy. Amen. Y'all got that in y'all spirit? Okay, go back. Go back to Luke 16. So we saw what the spiritual rich man looked like, right? Okay. So we're talking about this certain rich man. Look at verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate, thanks to God, because he was a beggar and he was full of sores, right? Look at verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That just looked nasty, don't it? Huh? All he wanted to do, though, was get some crumbs from the rich man's table, right? Huh? And the dogs was out there licking his sores. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into paradise. Oh, no, it says Abraham's bosom. Amen? And the rich man also died and was buried. So, you know, in the Old Testament, Abraham's bosom was paradise. That's like heaven. Amen? And it said the rich man, he just died and he was buried. Is that what it says? Look at verse 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's a lot of revelation right there. Amen. So, first of all, the rich man was in hell, and he lift up his eyes because he was being tormented. But, you know, the big torment that I see in this scripture is he could see heaven. Because he said, and see if Abraham afar off. In hell, he looking up, seeing heaven. Oh, that's torment right there. Amen. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So, right here, saints, the script is flipped. Amen. Now the beggar was up there when the rich man was living sumptuously every day. Amen. And now he's seeing Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Amen. And he want Abraham to send Lazarus so he could just touch his tongue and cool it off. Amen. Praise God. Follow the story, saints. Before, Lazarus wanted him. Okay, here we go, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is he comforted and thou art tormented. Amen. That's what Abraham said to him. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither they that pass to us that will come from thence. So he's saying, the problem is we got this great gulf fixed between us and you, hell and heaven. Amen. And y'all can't come over here and we can't come over there. Isn't that what he told them? That's what he told them. All right, look at verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So he's praying now, asking Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house, saints. Okay, you won't send him over here to cool my tongue because you sent him to my father's house. That's what he's saying, right? Look at verse 28. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He needed that spirit, saints, before he died. Amen. That's the spirit he needed before he died. Huh? Don't wait to go to hell, saints, before you get that right there. Huh? Don't be talking about, hey, you know, I'm going to be a tormented. Could now I see. Or what did the scripture say when God gave me that powerful revelation? Huh? Some people are not gonna kill their flesh until they see coming. They just gonna wait. Don't be that person. Huh? That's like the ones that didn't have no oil in the lamp. Amen. Oh, we got a lot of examples of that one. Amen. Don't wait till it's too late. When is God? Now. When is faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It's right now. God is now. God is not tomorrow. God is now. Amen. Today, while it is called today, don't wait. How is he going to come? Like a thief in the night. Huh? Do you know when a thief in the night coming to rob your house? No, he's going to come when you least expect it. Amen. So when we going to get it together? Now. Amen. Today. Amen. All right. You all got that. He said, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. He said, would you let Lazarus just go and tell my brothers so they won't be in hell with me? Is that what he's saying? He said, let Lazarus go and warn my brothers, because they I know my brothers is like me. They don't think it's no hell. They don't think it's going to happen. Huh? So let Lazarus tell him, Abraham, if you won't help me, help my brothers. That's what he's saying. All right. Look at verse 29. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So Abraham is saying, your brothers got Moses and the prophets to listen to. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Huh? They won't believe, saints. It's because they don't want to turn from their wicked ways. Huh? You tell them that God can raise them from that life, but they don't believe it. Amen. You tell folks right now today, God can bring you out of that lifestyle. I got every problem under the sun. Huh? Listen, this is what you need to do. You need to get in Christ. Amen. There's no losing in Christ. Ever. Amen. You cannot lose in Christ. God is a win-win situation, period. Amen. There is no losing in him. Amen. Every battle. See, the world don't know nothing about winning every battle. Huh? They don't know nothing about. They say you win some, you lose some. That's the world. Jesus, in Christ, you win every battle. And this feels good, too, because you be in the battle, and it's raging. The battle was raging. You look like, oh, they got me now. I ain't going to win this one. But nevertheless, not my will, your will, Lord. What did that lady tell me last week? Now, here's the high-end truth right here. I told her, I said, I'm in a battle. I'm battling at work. You know, this was one of my old neighbors. I said, I'm in a battle right now, but, you know, everything is good, all is well. She said, baby, that battle ain't yours. That battle was the Lord's. She reminded me of that. Whew. She said, baby, that battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And I'm in Christ. Huh? God knows what to send you at the correct time to tell you. He'll use anybody. He used the jawbone of an ass. God can use anybody to get you the message. Amen. He gonna give y'all this one two or three more times. Quiet as it's kept. It ain't going to stop with me. You ain't going to never hear this again. You're going to hear this again. Amen. Oh, praise God. That's why we love him. That's why he's so awesome. Amen. Look at verse 31, saints. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Do we know that's true, saints? Huh? Huh? Abraham and all the prophets and Moses and all the prophets, they don't hear that. Huh? When we tell them God rose Jesus Christ from the dead, they don't hear that. Amen. That's what he's telling them. Huh? If they don't listen to the prophets and Moses, They ain't going to be impressed because I sent Lazarus back from the dead to talk to them. Huh? They going to have another excuse. Oh, what you doing? How'd you come from the dead? I came to warn you because your brother, you know, he was extremely rich and he told me to come back and warn y'all. Oh, man. Well, he dead. Huh? Did he send us some money? That's what they going to be on. Did our brother send us some money while he's sending you back telling us this foolishness? That's what they're going to be saying. Amen. Just like we talked to him now. Look, you know, Christ Jesus, God rose Jesus up from the dead. Amen. And he can rise up your dead situation too. But you must give your life to him. You got to repent. You got to turn away from that nonsense. And then he'll come in and invite him in your heart. And then he'll come in and he'll rule your life. He'll show you how to win every battle. Oh, no. Ain't no Jesus. How are we raising from the dead? Huh? I'm doing what I want to do. Amen. That's flesh. Flesh is a mess. It's crazy. Amen. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for your word today, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the word, Lord, and allow me to serve your people, Lord. You know, it's a pleasure to serve you, Lord. I enjoy it, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for making a way for us back to the Father where we can say, Abba, Father. Thank you for not allowing us to be ignorant, Lord, keeping us in perfect peace and health, keeping a hedge of protection around us and all our families.